Physician, Heal Thyself. Notes of a Private Doctor is the true story of how one very successful man, celebrity consultant Dr. Robert Lefevre, did just that, as he had to tackle the issues of his most challenging patient ever, himself. Robert's life literally fell apart at the age of 72, when he lost the successful business that he'd built up over a 47-year career, and this inspired his book.
My personal experience drove me to write the book, and it was written at the time that I went through these experiences. The first section of the book is about betrayal, and I was looking at the concept of betrayal, how we all betray and we're all betrayed. You know, I've had times in my life when I've been betrayed, but there's also times when I've been the betrayer. And so that was really the issue, trying to keep the balance between, you know, what I did and what was done to me. I think my school betrayed me by refusing to let me study music, which was my great passion. But on the other hand, I betrayed the school by not working at the things I could have done. Lots of other boys did very well. I didn't. So it was a two-way process. In my professional life, you know, I was doing the things I enjoyed, the psychodramas, the EMDR, the NLP, and all the rest of it. I loved all that. I loved the training, and I loved the razzmatazz of doing the work. I loved group therapy. But finally, I was destroyed by a massive fraud by my accountant. Well, that was a betrayal. But on the other hand, I betrayed my staff and my family by not looking after the accounts more carefully.
Having recognise that there is an element of personal responsibility in those kind of things, does that make it easier or harder?
I think it makes it easier. I think the people who have any medical condition or any philosophical condition for that matter, who don't recognise their problem, are the ones that really have got a problem. And this, of course, is true of addiction primarily. I don't take insulin for very good reasons. I don't have diabetes. Well, I'm not an addict either, so I don't need to do anything for that. The first statement is true. The second statement is not true. I am an addict. But I didn't see it. I was 47 before I got into recovery from my addiction. And that was a terrible thing because everybody else could see it, but I couldn't see it. You know, I lost 3 months' income on the turn of one card in a poker game. I didn't see that I was a compulsive gambler. My weight used to vary by 50 pounds up and down. The most weight I've ever lost was 1.5 stone in 3 weeks. I would sit down and binge for 3 hours at a time, but I didn't have an eating disorder. You know, it's crazy. We just don't see it. I was smoking 30 cigarettes a day while looking after patients on the heart ward. You know, it's just madness. So at the age of 47, when my wife was sitting in front of a divorce lawyer, I went straight round to our GP and said, "What's the matter with Meg?" And he said, "Robert, it's not Meg, it's you." Well, you know, blow me down. You know, I paid the mortgage. I looked after the children. I didn't abuse anybody. I wasn't perpetually drunk. You know, how could I possibly have a problem? You know, I just didn't see it. And that is the basic psychopathology of any addict. We have denial. We just don't see what we're doing. We don't see what we've got. Consequently, when other people bail us out, they help us, help us, help us. They pay off our debts. They find us jobs, they find us somewhere to live, they soothe down the relationships with the girlfriend or with the headmaster or with whatever, and they find us the best lawyer. They actually make us worse. Because we don't get better until we're in pain. It is the only motive that gets any addict better, is pain. Now, it sounds cruel, but it's not. It's actually the way to help someone. Just leave them in the pain that they create. We don't have to create pain for them. Just don't bail them out from it. Get them to face up to the consequences. They did it. They're in it.
How do you do that, though, when clearly it's somebody that you love and they're in pain, and also you're worried that perhaps something will happen? I don't know, they'll commit suicide or they'll die or something, and then you'd feel that would somehow be your fault. That would be on you.
Yeah. That is the great catch, that we're worried that, you know, somebody will have some terrible consequence. I'll tell you what I did. I had my son arrested and I gave evidence against him in court. Anyway, I went down to the cells and I said, "Right, do you want me to continue with this or are you going into treatment?" And he said, "Oh, I've got a choice, Dad." And I said, "Yes, it is. It's yours. Which do you want to do?" And he said, "Well, I suppose I ought to have treatment." And that way, I got him into treatment. People thought I was nuts. But he's not used drugs from that day till this. That's what I wanted. So that, I think, is important. Learning to get the courage to confront in an appropriate way. You know, I didn't hit him. I didn't cast him into outer darkness. I love him still. I was talking to him on the phone yesterday. But what I did do was impede his future using of drugs. and it sorted him out, and he's done very well since then, and he deserves the credit for that. All I did was initiate the process. He then did it.
That's Dr. Robert Lefevre, author of Notes of a Private Doctor. For more information, see dr-robert.com.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.